It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervie. I'm the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I'm here to be the managing partner of your life. Although I'm going to get a lot of help to manage your life, because we're going to talk about two very interesting books. And we're going to find out today that Alan Gervie isn't the managing partner of your life. But, in the second half hour, we're going to talk about how big tech may be managing your life. And in the first half hour, we're going to talk about how work plays such a role, and managers and bosses and people who may be in control of your work, they may manage your life. Carrie, who manages your life?
I do, and you do, on the weekends.
On the weekends. I don't, not on Saturday, no.
You manage my life on the weekends.
I don't manage your life. Is there anyone managing your life, by the way, in the social circles these days?
Like what? What's that mean?
Like some guy, I don't know. Is there someone who's, you're hanging out with, who asks you out and takes you out?
Yeah, I do. I have to be honest, I have a lot of guys asking me out ever since I put single on my Facebook.
Yes.
And, I did a podcast about breaking up with my long-term relationship. I've had many guys ask me.
Oh, they are asking you out.
I have had a lot.
I thought someone like you, it's just too intimidating. People know that you're single, but they look at you and they know your personality. And it's like, no, I don't have the confidence.
Oh, there's some guys out there that I think it's overconfident. And it's fine.
Overconfidence?
But it's where, I've been nice and nice and nice. And every single time kind of like, no, I can't do that. Or I'm too busy, and they don't get it. And it's sweet, but sometimes the persistence, you got to go, okay, well, maybe she's not interested.
Well,
yeah.
I think a lot of men in particular, some women, are somewhat insecure, and it prevents them from being who they want to be. They're afraid. And a lot of times I think it causes them to act out. And when we talk about bullying today, as we're going to do, as Matt Packness, who is the author of a new book coming out in September called Successful Leaders Aren't Bullies, How to Stop Abuse at Work and Build Exceptional Organizations. I've heard him speak. He's been on a number of talk shows, and I know he's talked about some of the bullying and some of the abuse that is meted out, and he talks about it being through insecurity and being through a control thing, a power play. And a lot of times that shows a lot of, maybe some flaws in someone's personality. We talked about Harvey Weinstein quite a bit this past year, talked about his personality, and maybe, he was using his power and control to overcompensate for something, that he has, like, very small
proportions.
I'm talking about a small view of himself. A small view of himself, not looking down, because I don't think he ever sees, below his big tummy. Yeah. And that might be small as well, but I'm not sure he's seen that for a long time.
Going into comedy?
No. Actually, I did go into comedy once. I went on stage and I was booed off the stage. It was really sad. I put my head down and I walked down with my, and I said, I couldn't remember the expression, but I was walking out with, I said, my head between my legs. And I don't think it was my head between, isn't it a tail or something?
It's a tail between your legs.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah. I said my head, and then finally as I was walking out, people were laughing because they thought that's pretty funny.
Your head between your legs is a
tail. People were kind of picturing that. I'm sorry, I cannot do that.
Yeah.
Wish I could say I could, but I can't. But anyway, but getting back to the book here, you know, I deal with this a lot, and I know you've experienced it. When they talk about abuse at work, a lot of people know I'm an attorney, and I specialize in workers' compensation, and I see so many people abused in the workplace, and we don't often take it from a bullying perspective, but I'm sure Matt will tell us about that. But what we talk about is how people are treated unfairly, and it can have an effect. It can have a big impact on them. In workers' compensation, if something doesn't have an impact on the psyche or any physical problems, then it's not going to be a claim. There has to be some sort of an impact medically, psychologically, or physically, or both.
And this just happened to my friend who had been with the company for 5 years, kept getting promoted, in the last 6 months, a new guy came in and just tore him down and was extremely abusive and told lies to other people about him to where he was feeling sick all the time, where he went to go talk to somebody. And I said, you can't live like this. So I helped him write a note to HR and handled everything. Cause I guess this man had had other complaints about his abusive.
Why didn't you send him to me?
I actually told him about you. This is no joke. I said, you need to get a lawyer. And I said, you can sue them because this is what this guy was doing. And just, it was really abusive.
Well, there's a lot of things that go on behind closed doors that really are abusive.
Yeah.
And I hear it all the time, and some of them are more severe than others. Some people don't react the same way that others do. We call them, some of the people who do wreck, thin skulls, or you know, people who are eggshells because they just can't handle it.
Yeah.
And you know, we'll talk about that, how a person's reaction plays a role in abuse, because a lot of people can take it. I can take a lot of abuse. I mean, you could abuse me all day long today and I would be fine.
I
was actually looking forward to it.
Oh.
But
they're horrible.
But
some people, they're so afraid to stand up to it. Like my friend, he thought he was going to get fired.
Yeah.
He thought he was going to get back. He was so terrified. He felt sick every day before he went to work. He didn't know what to do. He's like, I have to quit. I don't know what. I'm like, what? He's going to run you out of your job? I actually told him about you. I said, listen, you have a claim here. This is abuse. And I said, you need to write the letter. And if nothing is done, I'm sending you over to Alan Gervie.
Yeah.
And I gave him your number. Something immediately was done.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, we're always happy when something can be worked out, and hopefully people can get back to doing what they're supposed to do, which is working,
yes,
not being sidetracked by abuse. And it happens in so many different forms. I hear it all the time. Sometimes it's screaming and yelling. I've had a lot of things. Sometimes people are throwing things.
Yeah.
At a worker, people let stress get the worst of them, especially managers and bosses. And we have to talk to Matt Packness about it. He has his own stories he can tell. He is a consultant for leadership development programs, and he's been doing it for many years. And he's written this book, Successful Leaders Aren't Bullies. We're going to talk to him after the break very shortly. And later on in the show, we are going to talk about another book coming out. This one's coming out August 21st, just in a few days. Silicon States, the Power and Politics of Big Tech and What It Means for Our Future. It is a book by Lucy Green, and she will be on Gervie's Law talking about the impact of some of the big tech companies, the platforms like Facebook, like Apple, Amazon, Google, and how they may be taking over the world in the future. And it won't be Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem who are managing your lives, but big tech companies.
AI. Artificial intelligence.
Well, you know, I always thought that my intelligence was artificial until I figured out that these companies, you know, what they can do and how they can really shape our minds. And of course, the most recent example is the Russian impact on the election, which isn't recent, but of course, that's what everyone talks about. But there's so many other things that Lucy Green is going to talk to us about, how it can affect the civil landscape. I love those words. They're her words. I have no idea what they
mean.
It means nothing. It's just something that sounds good.
Maybe she can explain it.
No, she's going to tell us the specifics, like how it affects healthcare, how it affects education, all of those things. That's part of the civil landscape.
Well, that kind of makes sense, I guess.
We need to take a break. Yeah. This landscape needs a break. So we are going to take a quick break. You're listening to Gary's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We'll be right back.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Executive LA Limousine Service has been in business for 40 years, serving corporate clients and all their social events. Call 310-823-LIMO or visit executivela.com to book this five-star review company. Call 310-823-LIMO or visit executivela.com. Mention or enter KABC AM and get 15% discount while offer lasts. That's KABC AM, 15% discount while offer lasts.
Right now, Norm's Famous Sirloin Steak and Eggs are just $9.99. Flame-grilled sirloin steak, farm-fresh eggs, golden hash browns, and scratch-made buttermilk cupcakes. Just $9.99 for a limited time at Norm's Restaurants.
Do you care about sex, addiction, mental health, social issues like the Me Too movement, and getting healthy? Tune in to Dr. Kate and Lauren for the provocative new show, Behind Closed Doors, Saturdays at 6 p.m. on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Welcome back to Gervey's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, we are back. We're rocking out right here on Gervey's Law. I'm Alan Gervey. She's Carrie Kasem. And we are going to talk about a serious subject. And we've talked a lot about this year because it's been so much in the news when we talk about abuse. We've talked to Me Too. We've had so many guests on, lawyers, victims alike, talking about these issues that come up, especially surrounding Harvey Weinstein. And now we're going to talk about a new book that's coming out. It'll be out in September, so it's something for you to look forward to. It's called Successful Leaders Aren't Bullies: How to Stop Abuse at Work and Build Exceptional Organizations. And the author of the book is an expert, Matt Packness, who's a consultant, leadership development programs. He's worked for so many organizations, making things right. He also has been in the news in the past, dealing with the Jerry Sandusky, Joe Paterno issue, because he worked as a graduate assistant coach at Penn State. So he's very familiar with abuse in the workplace. And by the way, a football team is a college football team. It is the workplace. Jerry Sandusky, Joe Paterno were getting paid as coaches, and it's so rampant all over in companies everywhere where people work. It affects people. It may affect you, or it may affect someone you know and love. And we need to stop this. We need to find out why this occurs. Matt Packness, welcome to Gervey's Law.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Matt, it's great to have you, and thank you for writing this book. I know that so many people have talked about how important a subject it is. Tell us how you started thinking about writing a book on abuse in the workplace.
Well, I've been, I coached college football for the 6 years after I graduated. I coached 2 years at Brown, 2 years at Penn State, and then 2 years at the University of Rhode Island. But that was inadvertent. I didn't plan to coach any longer because I was so turned off from, and I didn't see any sexual abuse, or I was unaware of any sort of sexual abuse at Penn State, but there were bizarre power dynamics. So I decided to get an MBA, and I had had an exceptional high school playing experience and a good playing experience at Brown, too.
Wait a second. But, don't say exceptional. Let's hear the record. How many losses in high school did you have? Say it proudly.
None.
There we go. Wow. None. Wow. And Matt is being very humble, but he was a star at Brown, an offensive lineman. And, of course, I have to disclose this, Matt. You're in my year. We went to school together, and yep. We know a lot of people. You know, you go down our Facebook pages, and we're all
people from mutual. Brown.
We have so many people on the show from Brown. Ken Starr we had on. We had Elder. What's his name? Larry Elder?
Larry Elder.
Larry Elder.
No, but you've had so many people on the show.
Freud Licht, so many of them from Brown. Brown graduates have had a great impact on law and life. And Matt had a stellar career. He was named top offensive lineman at Brown. But anyway, I digress. Matt, proceed.
Yes. So anyhow, I started doing leadership development programs while I was coaching in my MBA. They're like retreats and, you know, ropes courses, that kind of stuff. And then you remember Barrett Hazeltine.
Of course. He's a legend.
He approached me about the same time, and Brown was thinking about offering sort of a modified MBA, but really brass tacks management development skills, coaching skills for people who are recently elevated into that position or business owners who may not have the best coaching or managing skills. So we offered a program. It was a 50-hour certificate program, and we ran that for about 12 years. And I did those programs down at Alton Jones that exposed me to tons of companies. And I sort of created my own programs. And as I worked in a lot of these organizations, I would meet with people one-on-one, and I also do large group programs. When I'm meeting with people one-on-one, you know, the eyes would roll, and I'd hear these horrific stories and about abuse, just about, you know, a lot of power, control dynamics, and everything that was on the outside was just sort of like, you know, it was a false appearance. So I started taking more and more notes. I had come from an abusive family or a domestic violence experience
wasn't it your neighbor? It wasn't your family, though, was it?
There was no sexual abuse in my house. There was physical abuse.
I see.
But that often leads to a child being sexually abused because you don't have the natural safety program. But yeah, it was a neighbor. My mom, it was like the perfect storm. I think I was 9 years old and my mom was diagnosed with melanoma in the lymph system. So she had massive surgeries to remove her lymph system, about 2,000 stitches were required to sew her back up, and she was given about a year. At that same time, you know, being vulnerable, my dad was just flipped out, you know, so it was very, a lot of stress there. So there wasn't, and he was at, you know, took out a lot of that stress on my mom and me. And then in addition to that, I was targeted and abused by a neighbor. And, so it was like, you know, and it wasn't a good time.
Wow.
So I'm like 9 years old.
It's amazing how you were able to fight through that. It shows something. I know football helped when you were in high school. But to understand at that age these real negatives and real, you know, demons in people's lives.
Yeah, you really don't understand it. And so I think, and this happens too. I see people, you know, it's denial or, you know, I sort of, disappeared into sort of my own head and had a lot of compulsive thoughts just because I couldn't deal with the reality around me. And so it's a natural way for your body and your mind to sort of help you deal with the crisis as you sort of disengage. But then my mom, you know, said, wow, there's something really wrong here. My mom ended up living till my senior year in high school, and she got me some help when I was in seventh and eighth grade, and, you know, I was able to talk to a person. They, you know, he gave me a couple of, I thought I was completely stupid because I couldn't concentrate and work at school, and I was truant off, and I was afraid to go out of the house. And so I ended up, he gave me these intelligence tests, and he made me take them twice, sometimes three times. because it was like, wait, this, that's supposed to be, you know, the assumption was I wasn't too bright.
Right.
And so, then, you know, I started turning around and I was too big to play football until ninth grade. I think I weighed about 190 pounds when I was in eighth grade, and the weight limit for Little League football was about 120.
Big kid.
Yeah, I was a big kid. And that's one thing, like, I inherited from my dad, large size and strength, and I think that helped me. And my mom was very nimble. She was a great athlete. And so, you know, I was fortunate to have that. And then I got involved with football, wrestling, and track. My schooling wasn't that good. But then that really turned around. I had somewhat of a very unique experience with the scouts at Philmont, which is a big ranch down in Mexico, in the summer of 77, which was the summer going into my sophomore year. And things just sort of really calmed down, and I helped the group go up the side of a mountain in the middle of the morning because the adult leaders got us lost, and it just led to a real self-awareness and sort of like a pivotal moment in my life. And then from that point, you know, things just started taking off. And then, you know, when I went to Brown, my mom died my senior year during football season, and my dad got involved with someone else within a month. So I had no direction, and I was getting recruited by all these schools that, honestly, you know, when I was a freshman in high school, I probably couldn't have sniffed, but all the Ivies recruited me in the service academies and then had some Division I offers. And I ended up going to Brown just because Coach Anderson wouldn't leave me alone, really. And
persistence.
And I figured if the guy wants me that much, it's got to be a good place to go.
And you must have been so just feeling alone at that time when someone, you know, was persistent, someone was getting into your head to help you and support you. That's exactly what you needed. And that's when you talk about these situations where there's power and control dynamics.
That's right.
You can imagine how someone like you, vulnerable, and then you have this coach get it, you know, taking on your end. Fortunately, at Brown, I know everything worked out well, but there's so many people who are vulnerable who get abused.
And I had a question too. I love the title of your book. It's Successful Leaders Aren't Bullies. And I have a question with that because I've had so many, and I don't want to say so many, three bosses that were horrible people, bullies. I call them sociopaths, and they say one out of four are sociopaths, and 2.5% of them are actually dangerous. How, when you're in a situation like the Sandusky situation, or a situation where you have somebody who is basically, you know, that you're there or you're not there because of them, right? So I'm working because of a person that hired me. They could fire me. How do you change being somebody who's not an executive or at the top? How do you change your workplace when you have these psychotics?
And that's, you know, it's great observation. Hopefully one of the people you're referencing, you're not working with them now.
No, I actually told them they were, and I said they're going to have a lawsuit on their hands, and I said I'm leaving, and I quit this job.
Well, that's, you know, unfortunately up to this point, I think that's the healthiest way. You know, obviously you lose out on a job, but really for your mental and physical health, you got to get away from that.
Yeah.
It's, you know, people, it's hidden. It's, you know, just like domestic violence, like sexual abuse, like all these things, there's an appearance, and they lure you in, and then when you get there, it's a deviousness, a power control dynamic that undermines any sort of healthy, respectful, co-equal relationship, and it's all based on power, and no one, and the key is no one, I'm sorry, you're going to ask me a question.
Yeah, but Matt, I was going to say, not many people are like Carrie Kasem. She is a very strong person. I've had a lot of confidence. Tell us about people who are not Carrie Kasem but are still subject to that same dynamic.
And it did happen to me two other times where I didn't do anything about it. And I was just strong enough at that point in my life to where I did stand up for it. But before I couldn't.
The key is, I think, you know, ultimately is for organizations to have either a third, you know, the third parties have got to get more involved. There's no employee representation any longer. There's no support. And I actually went in, my business started because I was helping companies keep unions out. I was teaching managers how to treat people well so there wouldn't be a need for a union.
Yeah. I mean,
now that's changed. I mean, there used to be a pretense that HR was your friend. Now there's no pretense. Mm-hmm. They'll tell you directly, we're here to protect the company, and, you know, it's too bad. So I don't know how we've progressed to this point, but I think it's based on greed. It's based on a lot of, you know, people just being treated as numbers. And the best solution is to obviously get some counseling and talk to some people. You know, a lot of companies have EAP programs, to go out and discuss that with someone, just to keep your own head level and realize that it's not you. And then, you know, at this point is to get out. Now, I think ultimately, and, you know, what I'm sort of proposing in the book is more of like a national, a hotline where things could be reported just so there's more leverage. Now, I know people will be concerned with false accusations and everything like that, but like with child abuse, I mean, I think it's better to err on the side of caution and, you know, doing your due diligence and finding out, but, you know, being able to expose these organizations is the only way.
It's really
power.
Clearly very important. We have to take a quick break, Matt. But I do want to ask after the break, I want to ask how we separate, and you mentioned money, you mentioned a business interest. How do we separate motivating workers from abuse? Because there's a fine line many times where someone is just trying to get the most out of someone. Especially with your athletic background, you understand a coach often is like that. Where do we draw the line where it's abusive versus it's motivational? We're talking to Matt Packness. The book is called Successful Leaders Aren't Bullies. We'll be right back.
Talk Radio 790, KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. According to the New York Times, White House counsel Don McGahn has been cooperating with special counsel Robert Mueller. Correspondent Ryan Noble says the White House is aware of McGahn's actions.
The role he is playing now as essentially a cooperating witness in the special counsel investigation while still serving as the White House counsel. Now, this was actually on the recommendation of Donald Trump's former criminal lawyers who said that McGahn should meet with the special counsel because they viewed that the president had nothing to hide.
Kofi Annan, the first black African to lead the United Nations, has died at the age of 80. He served as Secretary General at a time when worries about the Cold War were replaced by threats of global terrorism, and his efforts to combat those threats and secure a more peaceful world brought him the Nobel Peace Prize. KABC SoCal weather mostly clear this evening with lows in the mid-60s to around 70. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
I just saved hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico. I should have done this years ago.
Disclaimer, traveling back in time is physically impossible unless you know how to build a functioning time machine. Then by all means, travel 25 years back in time, switch your car insurance to Geico. You could save a bunch of money. While you're there, please prevent your younger self from wearing that sleeveless tuxedo t-shirt, parachute pants, and glitter high tops to your senior prom. And at long last, rectify this horrible crime against nature. Geico is absolved of all liability if you destroy the fabric of time and space.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please call this toll-free number right now. 800-390-9528. That's 800-390-9528. By calling your addiction team, you're taking the first steps to recovery. The help you need could be one call away. 800-390-9528. Make the free call now. 800-390-9528. Your addiction team is a third-party advertiser for various treatment centers and placement networks. Individual results will vary. Visit youraddictionteam.com/turns for more information.
Choosy moms choose Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, you are listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. I'm Alan Gervie, here with Carrie Kasem. She's bopping her head to the music. We're talking about books that are coming out in the next little while, some new books, and they're very interesting, very important books. After the next break, we're going to talk to Lucy Green, who wrote the book Silicon States, The Power and Politics of Big Tech and What It Means for Our Future. So that might be a scary conversation to hear what the big tech companies like Google, Apple, Amazon, and Facebook are doing to our landscape, our civil landscape. So stay tuned for that. But before we get to Lucy, we are talking to Matt Packness, and he wrote the book Successful Leaders Aren't Bullies, How to Stop Abuse at Work and Build Exceptional Organizations. The book is released September 25th, will be available all over on Amazon. So you want to make sure you get the book. Matt, before the break, I said to you that there seems to be a fine line sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes between motivating workers and practices used by managerial people or bosses, if you will, and abuse from bosses and managers. How do you address that?
There's high standards, no question, good bosses and good coaches get the most out of their people. And it's usually through a communal effort. It's shared accountability, shared goals, team goals. When it crosses the line, when someone's belittling, when they're treating you with disrespect, when they're constantly picking on you, the classic is you get these excessive. One time I heard this person was handed a draft for like a commercial, and it wasn't even in their job ranks, but or in their job description, but they were asked to go through and rewrite it. And, it was just an open opportunity for the boss to constantly critique and redline and do it. And that person who was just doing it out of goodness, said, oh, yeah, I got this. Maybe I can help you with this. But it was just a perfect venue for this evil boss, this bullying boss, to really tear apart and belittle and
what did the person
denounce?
Do? Did he get back? Well, did he say, hey, enough's enough? Or did he?
Yeah, this is not. So went back and said, this is really not part of my job description. and so, then you try to bring it. I think the best way that you can address a bully directly is with facts.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of narcissists, that's a three thing. They lie. They can't assess themselves.
Yes.
And they're extremely selfish. So yes. It's like they have this protective shield around them where they can't really look at the truth.
But, right.
I think the best way to address that is with the truth. The other thing that I wanted to bring up was in most states you can record conversations. You need one party of the mm-hmm. two to say it's okay. And
wait a second. One party of the two.
Yeah, just one. Yes. One person.
That would
can
be
do
an
it.
Agreement with yourself.
With yourself. That's right.
That's right.
You can't do that
and
in California.
And you can check your state laws, but I think it's pretty much that way in every state in the country. And,
except for California. There's a couple of them. California, you cannot do it unless you're being, there's a threat of harm. That's the only way you can record somebody. Unfortunately, it's too bad here.
Okay.
Yeah.
But this works. It's like we had a statement when I was a coach, the eye in the sky doesn't lie, and that was the video. And you can see, if you have something on tape, or ideally if you have it videoed, then people can actually see it, and it's outrageous, and, there's no escaping it. I see these are probably the solutions that we're going to need in order to really stop these horrific behaviors. The person, the recourse right now, obviously you would traditionally say, well, go to HR, but HR again is there to protect the company.
Right.
So it's going to EAP, it's going to a good labor attorney if you feel,
A workers' compensation attorney where there's work injuries.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, we talked about this before you were on in our opening, that a lot of these people who are abused or who are bullied suffer a lot of psychological and physical consequences, where they end up on medications, end up with doctors, they go and get help. And that is a workers' compensation claim, as well as it could be a civil claim for some sort of harassment complaint.
That's right.
Absolutely.
You know,
and
go ahead. I'm
sorry?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say the other thing is that what a lot of people don't realize is, you know, a lot of times the local police, if you elevate something, they're all, you know, they know somebody. And so people say go to the authorities. Well, the best representation I've seen often given is when people reach out to federal agencies, you know, human rights commissions, the state, and maybe not even at the state level, but more on a federal level, the EEOC. So that's where you get your formal, because when you try to go local or you try to handle it within house, it gets squashed.
They don't care. Now, I was talking about a friend of mine who was severely abused at work, and, you know, he's telling me everything, and I sat down and I wrote a letter as if I were him, and I used the correct terms, hostile. He had been actually seeing somebody. We said, I've been seeing somebody for this problem. I have been hospitalized several times. I haven't been sick in the 5 years I've been at this company. I've been sick 3 times in the 6 months this person came on. I said, you need to write this all down. It looks like you're about to sue them. And it was, this guy was taken care of immediately, because I guess he had, that he didn't know that he had other complaints against this man.
That's right.
So he
as soon as there's proven medical trail, everyone just bends over backwards.
Yep. And that was it.
But, you know, Matt, I have to say that all of this makes so much sense, and it's kind of in a perfect world, but you experienced something where you saw someone who was very gregarious, who was very friendly. Jerry Sandusky, the way that he dealt with people, and you've been on record, you know, you were with John King on CNN, and you've talked about how he really presented himself as a good guy and everyone's friend, and, you know, Joe Paterno's in the background kind of saying, yeah, it's all okay, turning his back to everything. But, you know, these are the people that it can be real difficult to get anything against, because people like them and they're smiling and happy and jumping around the sidelines like Jerry Sandusky did, not knowing what was going on behind the scenes.
Exactly. The true definition of a lot of these people is that, you know, they present different fronts to different audiences. They kiss up, kick down. They can be like, he was so admired by some of his players and by the alumni and, you know, obviously by the fans, and they projected this image. He started this second mile. Even my high school coach, they used to have programs. I grew up in New Jersey, you know, or fundraisers, golfing events for the second mile. And so he was, you know, really embraced and heralded for all this. And then, The real reason he set the whole thing up was just to be a fox in a hen house.
You saw that firsthand, being a coach there.
Well, I didn't. Again, I never saw him abused, but I saw those kids. They were always around, and there was a coach on the staff, a full time coach. We were, and now court documents that weren't allowed in say that, you know, there was a coach on the staff, Joe Serra, who entered a meeting when I was on the staff, but I was at class. And he was white and he was pale, and he said, you know, he told everybody at the staff meeting that what he had just seen, Jerry abusing a child.
Wow.
And Joe squashed it right there. That happened again too, apparently, with Greg Schiano in the early 90s. He did the same thing. These documents weren't allowed in the court.
And you know, these are high profile cases. What you talk about in the book are just some common situations at a workplace,
right.
And you know, it's so impactful. This book is something that I think everyone should read. It's called Successful Leaders Aren't Bullies, and Matt, it'll be available September 25th.
Yeah, I think, and it's September 25th. You can actually go online now and order it.
Oh, you can. Okay.
You know, I don't think it's going to get released until the 25th. But yeah, it'll be available all around the country. And, I think what's key is, you know, it talks about four major stages. Number one, what is it? Because a lot of people, like we were saying, what is it? You know, is someone just expecting me to work really hard? Or am I being abused here? you know, so really makes it clear so people really understand those distinctions of the belittling, the harassing, and the real demeaning behavior that, that isolates. Then, why does this happen? And it's organizational. We know three things. It's allowed. People on top know about it. Number two, they tend to, these organizations tend to attract and recruit people that are willing to bully. And number three, there's no standards and no clarification like this poor these poor situations at Ohio State with the wrestlers now and with, right. Michigan State. You know, those students never went through a training that clearly defined, so they were real clear about what constitutes sexual abuse and sexual
assault. Right. We had a couple of the gymnasts on who were abused by mm-hmm. Dr. Nasser, and they said the same thing, that, you know, they were so in the dark about this.
And any organization where there's high performance standards, where it's extremely competitive, it makes it you much more compliant because you want to do so well. And you're coming from a successful high school program, you want to make a good name for yourself, you don't want to complain. So it's like that's just like the perfect venue. With Sandusky, I actually met Matt Sandusky, who was about nine. I met him when I was out there when I was coaching. And in retrospect, I'm involved in an organization for survivors, and he and I reconnected. And he's the only family member that has spoken out and come out.
He's
been ostracized for it. But, you know, it was classic grooming. He was, you know, brought in about nine and given all this special attention, and it was just this evil, evil process. Now, Sandusky and Paterno hated each other. Sandusky used to come up to me on the side and say, "I hate that guy. He's a jerk." I don't want to get involved.
You don't say that about Joe Paterno in the state of Pennsylvania.
It was crazy. The dynamics there were absolutely crazy.
Wow.
And a lot of the people rolled their eyes and, you know, don't let Joe smoke you, that kind of thing. So,
you know,
it's all coming out now, but I think that's part of it, is allowing people too much power.
I think that's really the message, and it's something that, you know, we talk about our government now, and there's those questions about power for the president and for others, and mm-hmm. it really becomes something that needs to be studied. I think the book is a great place to start, and I'm sure a lot of people thank you for writing it. Matt Packness,
we
really appreciate you coming on Gervie's Law, of course.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Always happy to have a fellow Brown alumnus, right?
Yeah.
And wish you all the best of luck, and hopefully you can come back and talk more about it as the book comes out.
Yes, and if you're ever in Los Angeles.
Too, it ends with saying, what's the impact on a person, and then how do you overcome it? So the whole end of the book is dedicated to helping people individually and organizationally overcome abuse in the workplace and bullying in the workplace.
And that's the main message. It's not just talking about it, it's overcoming it.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, Matt.
Appreciate your time, guys.
Thanks,
okay.
Thanks Matt.
Thank
take
you.
Care.
Good
All right,
luck.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
It's the last days of Macy's Big Home and Furniture Sale. Don't miss out on incredible specials like three-piece reversible comforter sets for just $19.99. Take 30% plus an extra 15% off blenders, juicers, and food processors. Save 65% on Tag and Travel Select luggage sets. Plus, find can't-miss deals for every room. Furniture, mattresses, area rugs, outdoor furniture, and more. Hurry in. Macy's Big Home and Furniture Sale ends Sunday. Savings off sale prices. Exclusions apply.
Every home is unique. That's why I, the Orkin man, rely on science.
Mom! Orkin is here!
Hi. We have a rodent problem.
Rodents do like to find a comfortable home, and even if you get rid of them once, they're great at finding their way back in.
Mom! Soda!
Especially if there's a good source of food.
And a slice of pizza!
But using the latest research and exclusion techniques, I'll customize a treatment for your home that'll send them packing.
Don't forget the ranch this time!
Were you still talking about rodents?
Orkin. Pest control down to a science. Visit Orkin.com for a free estimate.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please call this toll-free number right now. 800-390-9528. That's 800-390-9528. By calling your addiction team, you're taking the first steps to recovery. The help you need could be one call away. 800-390-9528. Make the free call now. 800-390-9528. Your addiction team is a third-party advertiser for various treatment centers and placement networks. Individual results will vary affected. Visit youraddictionteam.com/terms for more information.
I just saved hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico. I should have done this years ago.
Disclaimer, traveling back in time is physically impossible unless you know how to build a functioning time machine. Then by all means, travel 25 years back in time, switch your car insurance to Geico. You could save a bunch of money. While you're there, please prevent your younger self from wearing that sleeveless tuxedo t-shirt, parachute pants, and glitter high tops to your senior prom. And at long last, rectify this horrible crime against nature. Geico is absolved of all liability if you destroy the fabric of time and space.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Hey, this is Dr. Drew on the Next Midday Live. We'll take your calls and a radical proposal. Radical. That's right. Eliminate bench warrants for homeless people. They weren't actually expecting those to be paid, were they? Seems sort of practical, not radical. But we'll get to that. We'll get to more and your calls on the Next Midday Live with Lawrence Vaughn and Dr. Drew on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Kerry Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yes, we are back. We are talking new books that are being released. And we really heard some interesting stuff on bullying from Matt Packness. Now we turn to our next author. This is a very interesting book that I think everyone's going to need to take a look at. It's probably going to be kind of scary.
You've been saying it this whole time. Well, I don't think she's going to scare us.
No, I want to.
She's even laughing.
Lucy's laughing. But here's what someone wrote about. And the book is called, by the way, Silicon States. Which is the power and politics of big tech and what it means for our future. It's released August 21st in a couple days. And hold on a second here. There are so many references to how important this book is, and I'm trying to find here. Timely and important. If you're not scared by big tech yet,
see the word again.
What?
That word again, scared.
Scared. You will be after reading this. That's Roland Manthorpe from Sky News. Green looks at the ways in which multinational tech giants, including Apple, Google, Amazon, Facebook, and others, have resisted government regulation. We talked about this in our Facebook show that we did a couple weeks ago. While pushing to take over functions traditionally provided by the state, an open-eyed analysis of influential technology companies' ambitions of interest to investors, tech users, and media consumers. Library, that's by the Library Journal. We want to welcome to Gervey's Law right now Lucy Green. She is the worldwide director of the innovation group at J. Walter Thompson, one of the biggest advertising and media groups in the world, in in-house futures and innovations think tank. That's the innovation group. Wow, yes. Lucy. that is quite a title. I mean, you are on the cutting edge of stuff that everyone talks about, but you're right in the middle of it. Congratulations for writing this book, by the way. Tell us what it's going to mean to people and to our world, because I really am serious when I say it's scary to see what these big tech companies have the power to do to get into our minds and into our brains and into our business.
Right. I mean, what's been most interesting to me is in the few months since the book has been finished, is we've really seen a cultural tipping point, as in criticism of these companies and their cultural dominance. Even the great Elon Musk is finally starting to be questioned. And yet you're kind of not seeing it hit the bottom line or not in, I mean, you know, Facebook's growth, they said this week, was slowing, but Google, meanwhile, or Alphabet had a record-breaking week. And so I think there is this disconnect between this, you know, the fact that this is being talked about more, which I think is great, the fact that there's rising awareness among consumers. Are we signing off any of these services and products in any meaningful way? Well, no.
Yeah.
So there's a kind of hypocrisy, or just maybe they're just too convenient or impossible to step out of, despite whatever anxiety we might have.
But don't you think it's really hitting home, at least in the United States, and I think around the world as well, as a result of the accusations of the Russian interference in the election? So many people have so many thoughts about President Trump, positive, negative, mostly negative. But at the same time, it doesn't hit home as to what the impact can be, because people can say, well, he would not be in the position he is but for what apparently happened in a number of different platforms during the election. So isn't this really what is the stepping stone for you to get people to really think about what these big tech companies are capable of?
Right, exactly. And it doesn't really end with that, although I do think it's interesting, it's really revealed the extent to which people do go to places like Facebook for their news first.
Right.
And Facebook is curating the news cycle for many different people. And whether that's genuine news or fake news or whatever, they're going to Facebook as that intermediary, which I think is incredibly significant. But it's interesting. It goes beyond there. And I kind of talk about this in my book. It's beyond information and the way that politics is discussed and discourse and the way campaigns are run. What we're seeing with companies like Amazon, for example, moving into healthcare, moving into edutech, these companies are moving, and Silicon Valley is like a wealth center, is moving into many, many different sectors, from city design to recreating or trying to rethink pharmaceuticals and the health insurance system, to looking at infrastructure. You have the Google-built city, which is coming in Canada soon. And, that was kind of what set me off on this book in the first place. Just because they built these incredibly successful companies, does that really mean that they can design civic spaces and design public services? I in the process of the book, really started to think, I don't think so, actually. Or there's, definite biases in the way that they might design those systems.
If it fails, it fails. What would be the harm if they do construct these cities, if they do this? What is the harm in if it does fail? I mean, they would just kind of retreat and kind of handle what they know best, right?
I wonder if the scary thing is if they succeed. You know, the difference between... Yeah. The big industrialists that built our railroads and put down, put in plumbing and all that stuff, is they built that stuff and then it got sort of taken over by the state. The difference with technology and data and the way that data has become basically like a new commodity, like more, if you read the headlines, more valuable than oil, they're creating these constantly updating commercial engines. So, but pretty much every aspect and thing that we will interact with, especially as the Internet of Things becomes a thing, and you're already seeing that with these connected, their sort of interactive phone booths, as it were, links in New York and places like London that have visual recognition and sensors built into them. You're seeing, the public fabric of our lives becoming commercial engines, and I don't think much transparency over how that data is aggregated, and interesting who benefits. I don't think it's the state.
It's kind of like, when you're talking, it's kind of Ayn Randish and 1984 kind of put together. You know, it's like, it's what it sounds like. It's a very terrifying kind of look at society and what you would deem the civil landscape. It's very government based, and and if you have Google taking over, it's going to be Google based. So everything, news and everything coming through, it's going to filter. It's whether you want to call it double talk or fake news or whatever. How are you going to handle that? How are you going to change it?
Right. I mean, but on the other hand, it's incredibly compelling, and that's due to, or seductive, let's say. We're living in an age where you have I go to the gym every day, in which I have dubbed my daily dystopia day, a dose of dystopia on CNN and MSNBC and all the other news channels. And same in the UK, you're seeing ministers fumble over Brexit, and particularly I think young people are seeing this. And, while there are privacy and moral questions about this group, they certainly seem more dynamic and one with the future and able to move quickly. And there's something quite compelling about like an Elon Musk fool that he's had spats with the media and everybody in the past few weeks. You know, there's something compelling about the fact that he's able to move so quickly and being able to achieve something and has such vision.
But
right?
Lucy, a lot of this is due to the lack of regulations and the fear that politicians seemingly have to interfere because they don't understand any of it. I mean, just listening to you, I don't even understand it. But, you know, it's such a fascinating book. The book's called Silicon States, The Power of Politics of Big Tech and What It Means for Our Future. Available very soon. You can order it now. Lucy Green, thanks for being with us today, and good luck with the book.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Okay, take care.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. Another episode of Gervie's Law in the books, so to speak, because that's what we were talking about, books. Have a great week.